tonight or this afternoon. I keep saying tonight. It's ingrained in me to say tonight, but it is afternoon. We're not even to pre-evening yet, so it's still afternoon. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 19. As we look at this particular psalm today, it's a wonderful psalm. All of these psalms, of course, have, again, our Lord in view, in His going to the cross, and the suffering that He would endure as He would go to the cross for us. And this is a psalm of praise here that is basically divided into two sections. David writes on that in this first half of the psalm about nature itself as it declares the glory of God, and that by the nature, by the, just the wonder of nature that God has provided, we can look around and see His glory. And specifically, he speaks of the heavens and all that is in them. And it's indeed a wondrous, just what we can see naturally is wondrous. But what we have had telescopes see is even more wondrous. When you begin to look outside even that and see the wonder of this universe that God has made, the vastness, just the enormity of it, and then in that enormity, all of the beauty that He has placed in it. Indeed, it declares the glory of God. But even beyond that, as he would say there in verse 1, science has now come to the understanding that all of creation makes noise. Now, that's not surprising when we go outside and we see the wind blow, we see the effects that it has as it's blowing through the trees and so on, and the rustling that you hear, and the birds singing and the animals making noises. It was a couple of weeks ago, it was a warm night, we had the windows up there at the house, and we've got a fox den that's down on the lake bluff there below us, and this fox comes in there and she has her pups in there every year, and we've not seen them yet, but I have heard her a few times, and of course they make kind of a weird, I don't even know how to describe it, it's a weird high-pitched noise that they make, and their bark, and about 3 o'clock in the morning she'd come up through the yard. And she was yapping coming up through the yard, and I don't know what she was yapping at, but then she got up into the yard, and that woke me up, but then a duck started quacking at her, and you could hear the duck and the fox running to them. And the duck was obviously chasing the fox, because the fox was hollering as it was running away from the, it was a comical thing, even though it's 3 o'clock in the morning. It was, all of creation makes noise, you know, I mean, we're reminded of that all the time. But we think that when we consider the idea of noise like that in creation, we think of living beings, you know, the animals, the birds, the effects of things. But what science has found out is the planets themselves, the heavenly bodies that are in our solar system and probably the case everywhere else in the heavens, they make an audible tone as they move in their orbits throughout, and it's at a frequency that you and I cannot hear, but you know our Lord hears the song of His heavens as they move and are going about doing the business that He set them in place to do. And I imagine, being a God of order, that there is a song that they're following. We don't have that song written down, but I believe they're following a song that our Lord has made for them. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now, first few verses here, first 6 verses, David writes concerning the wonder of creation and how it shows forth that glory of God. The last few verses of this, verse 7 on down through verse number 14, of this particular passage, he describes the grace of God as it is declared by the Word of God. And so he puts these two together, creation and what it reveals, the Word of God and what it reveals, and how those two are joined together to show this wondrous picture of who our God is. That even nature itself declares. This is what Paul tells us over in Romans chapter 1 and 2. Nature itself declares these things. God's Word declares these things. And we see the wonder of them together. Now, the heavens declare His glory. His Word declares His grace. And so in that we see that full picture of our God that He has given unto us to know of Him. And so we begin this afternoon reading in here in verse 1 of this particular psalm. All it is titled for us is that it is to the chief musician, a psalm of David. So this is one of David's psalms that he has written. This is the Kuf psalm, and that the pictograph of the Kuf is the back of the head, and that's its pictograph, and it means behind, the last, the least. It speaks of, in every instance that it's used, it speaks of the mind of Christ, as His mind is revealed to us in His Word. And it is a wonderful psalm here. It shows David's wisdom as he writes this song by the Spirit of God. Notice what he says here in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, His circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect. Here he leaves off from creation and begins now to speak of the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. A wonderful psalm here David writes for us. And again, the first six verses, he's speaking of the creation itself and how it shows that glory of God. And he focuses specifically in these six verses on the heavens, what we see of the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament, His handiwork. One of most interesting books to me that I have, and one that is somewhat puzzling, is called The Witness of the Stars. How he's gotten all this information. E.W. Bullinger wrote this in the late 1800s, and he goes through the zodiac, the constellations, and he shows in here by some of the ancient zodiacs, specifically a Syriac zodiac, he shows in here how what we have today, of course you have all these fortune tellers that use astrology and they go by the star signs and all this other garbage that they do. What we find is that's nothing what it was originally. In fact, what it was originally, even in these societies that did not worship God, that's the reason those wise men from the east came to visit the king that was born in Bethlehem. They wanted to know, hey, wait a minute, we've seen his sign, we know that he's born, and they come looking for him. That's the reason they come, because they were studying these very things about the constellations and where they were at in the heavens, knowing that it had been fulfilled, what had been declared in the constellations. Now, what E.W. Bullinger goes through here and describes for us, and I've got another book that's later than this one that does the same, shows the same thing in a little bit simpler English, but it doesn't have as many details as Bullinger's book. He goes through each of those constellations and shows their original meanings and what they were in those old zodiacs, and how it shows the gospel of Christ from his life, his birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and him as coming king. It goes all the way around the heavens and declares that. The conquering of Satan and so on. It's all in the stars, in the constellations, that these ancient men knew. They understood. They could look up and see the constellations and knew that was what it was depicting. Knew exactly what it was saying there. Had men writing these things. The Mesopotamians were ones that they had an extensive catalog, or not the Mesopotamians, Babylonians. They had an extensive catalog of those star constellations and all the stars that were within those constellations and what each one of those stars means, and even the names of them that we have now have passed on to us, the names of those individual stars have meaning to what the very constellation is shining forth. And so the heavens declare the glory of God literally, as you can look in the heavens and see each of the constellations, it's declaring a portion or a part of the life of our Lord and what he's come to accomplish and perform. We've got hints of that given to us in the Word of God. Job, for instance, declares that. Amos declares that. Isaiah declares these things to us, that we're to pay attention to those things that are given to us in the heavens and in the stars. So these are things that this knowledge that we've lost in our day, that we've missed out on, that declare to us more than what we even imagine here when we read this verse, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament his handiwork. We can see that and know. When Yuri, whatever his last name is, I can't say those Russian names, the first Russian cosmonaut that went into space, of course they were touting their atheism, and he enters into space, and the first thing he says when he enters into space is, I don't see God anywhere. He's not here. Well, Alan Shepard goes up and he comes into space and he says, I see him everywhere. I see God everywhere. That is the reality. When we look at what our Lord has created, with a right eye, a man can look and see very plainly, this is created. This is ordered. This is wondrous. This took great intelligence to make such things as we see before us today. And that, listen, the heavens, as vast and as wondrous as they are, they're just rocks and balls of gas. Rocks and balls of gas. When you get down to the details of your eyeball, I mean, that's marvelous what God has made. What he has done in us. The very links of our building blocks in our body and DNA and the cells and how they work and produce and all that's a part of it. It's wondrous what God has made. The things we can't even see. The wonders that he has made around us. The heavens declare the glory of God and firmament his handiwork. The study of those things and the sight of those things as we look upon what God has made, the study of creation, the study of what God has made will never contradict what he has written. It will never contradict what He has written. Man has to change the perspective of it in order for it to contradict this. And when he does, he takes away the wonder. He takes away the glory. He takes away the vastness of it when he tries to take God out of it. The reality is, when we look around us, and it is a problem that all evolutionists know too well. Their theory can only go so far. Somewhere they have to stop and admit, okay, we can't go beyond this point. Something else has to happen. And they're so embedded in that theory of evolution that they will give the glory to an alien before they give it to the God of heaven. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But they can't go beyond that. There has to be a place where they eventually hit a wall and they have to say, okay, something had to happen there. I don't know what happened. Something had to happen. Before the child of God, we look, and it's a wonder from the sight that we see all the way back to when God made it and created it and spoke it into existence. The study of what God has made will not contradict what He has written. They will flow together. They will show His glory together. Heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. When man honestly looks at what God has made, he can see, he can't help but see the planning, the controlling, the intelligence, the presiding creator over all that He's made. In fact, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 17 tells us not only that our Lord made it, but in Him it says all things consist. He's not only the one who makes it, He's the one who holds it into place. He's the one that causes it to do what it's supposed to do. He's the one that keeps it, you see. Verse 2. It says, day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. You can't escape it. It declares. It goes on. Whether man believes it or not, whether man wants to believe it, whether he wants to totally ignore it, he can't. It doesn't stop it. It goes on and acknowledges. It declares its creator. It declares the glory of God. It can't be gotten away from. It's there. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Every nation knows it to be true. Now again, the Babylonians, they didn't worship God. They made their own gods. But where did they come to when they saw the stars in the heavens? Where did they come to? They come to Bethlehem. They come to find. Wait a minute now, we'll come to Jerusalem. They come to find. Wait a minute. We know the king's been born. Where can we find him? They saw, that couldn't be gotten away from, you see. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, in them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. In other words, he uses the sun as the example there. It's so overwhelming you cannot escape the reality of it, that the heavens declare the glory of God. You can run to the shade to try to get away, but the light's still there. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. There's never a day that goes by, nor a night that darkens, that His glory is not on constant display for every living creature to see. How much sweeter is it? How much sweeter is it to recognize it and glorify Him along with that creation instead of standing against it and trying to find some other answer? How futile is the attempts of man to rid himself of a God whose glory shines all the time. In everywhere they look, His glory shines forth. Verse 7. Now He turns His attention to the Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. God's law is absolutely perfect. It is the standard of perfection. And it converts the soul not by the works of it, but rather by pointing us to Christ, as Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 24 tells us, that it is our schoolmaster that brings us unto Christ. It shines for Him. And so it is perfect. It converts the soul. He says there in verse number 8, or let me finish reading verse 7, it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. His testimony is sure. He makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse number 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Notice He was converted. He was made wise. Now He's made happy, all by the Word of the Lord. Converted, made wise, made happy. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Thy word, O Lord, David writes in Psalm 119, verse number 89, Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Forever settled. His word is sure. It will not pass. It will do exactly as it declares. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. That's the gives us a semblance of the worth of the Word of God. But again, it's just a symbol, something that we can measure it by. The reality is it's far greater than the finest of gold. Because our Lord has told us He's building us a city, and in that city, the streets are paved with the finest of gold. That's what He paves the streets with. We use tar, gravel. He uses the finest of gold. That's just for us to walk. I mean, it's far greater than we can ever imagine. Sweeter also, he says, than honey. And the honeycomb. Not just the honey, but the honeycomb. We used to rob bees when I was a kid. I loved that honeycomb. I mean, that there was nothing to look forward to more than when Dad would come carrying in that fresh honey from the hive into the house. We'd go to cutting up the comb there and putting it in the jar. And that, I mean, honey's sweet. I love to taste that honey out of that hive. But there was just there's nothing sweeter than biting into a chunk of honeycomb, and that honey that's encased in that comb just gushes into your mouth when you bite. Oh, there's nothing sweeter, he says. Or God is. It's sweeter than the honey. Even the honeycomb. It's sweeter than that. Again, that's just a symbol. That's just a measurement tool for us to go by. It's much more sweeter than any honey that we'll ever get on this earth. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there's great reward. Who can understand his errors? Now David begins a prayer, verse 12 through verse 14. As he considers what God has revealed to him in the heavens, as he considers what is revealed to him by the Word of God, as he puts those two together, as he sees the wonder and the vastness of God and how much God is entwined in his life. And the focus now comes to him. Who can understand his errors? In other words, I've got God's glory shining all around me. I have his word that shines forth his goodness and his grace and his love for me. I've got all of these things declaring God and the wonders of him to me. And then I see myself and wonder, how in the world could I be so wicked? How can I be so weak when I've got such a display of God around me? How can I be so wicked? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. In other words, those things that I don't even know I've done. Those things that are hidden even from me, Lord, cleanse me from those things. That I'd be made clean. That, like the rest of your creation, I would be able to shine forth your glory. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. And he jumps from those sins that he didn't even know he committed to the other end of the spectrum. Here in the next verse, verse 13, when he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Those are sins not only that you know are, that they're in your life, but that you are willingly choosing over and over and over again. Knowing that it is in absolute rebellion against God that you're taking those sins, but you continue nevertheless to follow into those things. David says, keep me from those. Keep me from those. Numbers chapter 15. God's law is pretty strong in regards to those presumptuous sins. Numbers 15 and verse number 30. Numbers 15 and verse 30 says, but the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, A soul that chooses these sins, that follows after them. A soul that doeth aught presumptuously. Whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. God, I don't care if they're a Jew or not. If they're living in this land and they're sinning presumptuously in open rebellion against me, he says, cut them off from everybody else. David's realization is, they're in my heart too. Keep me from those things, he says. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We need the Lord in everything. He is all around us. We can see His work. We can see His doings in every place that we look. He's declared to us in His Word the wonder of His grace for His people. David says, Lord, help me to be faithful. Forgive me of my sin. Keep me from sin. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight. Thank you.